Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with our special version of the closing market report. Let's look how prices settled in Kansas City and at the Chicago Board of Trade. In Kansas City, March wheat settled at 914, limit down 30 on the day. July, 814, down 10.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat settled at 885, down 30. May, 893, down 26. July, 778, down 14. March corn settled at 452, down 2.75. May, 463.25, down 2.75. July, 473, down 2. September, 472.25, down 2. January beans settled at 1207.75, down 4.75. March, 1223, down 8.5. May, 1240.5, down 7.5. November, 1120.5, down 1.75. January soybean meal settled at 326, down 990. March, 33350, down 1040. January soybean oil settled at 4883, up 9. March, 4967, up 30. December live cattle settled at 93.50, up 27.5. January feeders, 104.32.5, down 5. February lean hogs, 57.30, down 197.5 on the day. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Want to talk about these soybeans because it was a very volatile day there, and the numbers on the settlements don't show, on the final prices don't show that volatility. In January beans, for example, while we were down 4.75 on the day, we actually got all the way down to 11.65 today, under the 10-day moving average. And the question I have for you, given that we came all the way back to just minus 4.75, are we willing to call this a key reversal or not?
Well, not yet, but I think you're on real high alert, Dave. It sounds like from the floor, the preliminary information from our guys at EFG is there was one or two separate 500-lot orders that came into both the electronic July and electronic August beans, and they went from being down about 8 to down about 40 cents, and it took about 30, 32 cents worth of price action to get those 500 contracts filled. Just gives you an idea of how thin that trade was, even on the electronic trade, which is all over the world being traded. You know, it's not in the pits. It's actually on the computers all over the world that's hooked up to it. So I think it's a real key indicator that it was an extremely thin volume day. The expectation, or what we had been told at this point anyway, was it was probably fund-related long liquidation. It wasn't someone that was just coming in and selling brand new. So it is going to put you on a fairly thin piece of ice. I think just as importantly, the March composite meal chart broke below and stayed below its 10-day moving average and trend line. These are the key moving averages and trend lines we've been tracking for the first indications of a correction coming. I think initially this week, after the Budo assassination, the dollar was sold very aggressively, and I think that surprised a lot of currency traders and actually helped the commodity markets out quite a bit, because even though the trade bought U.S. Treasuries, they sold dollars and dollar assets for the most part and went into gold and metals, and it looked like that this market was going to stay very strong in the grains and metals and energies all the way through probably to the January 11th report by USDA, all three of the reports that are coming out then. But crude oil indeed has turned negative on the day. Gold stayed firm, but you've got some issues here you're going to have to probably pick up. I wouldn't take Monday's trade too seriously or Sunday night's trade too seriously, but certainly when we come back from the holiday, those 10-day moving averages and trend lines in corn and beans are very important, and obviously the wheat break this week is extremely important in the longer term.
Yes, the wheat no longer the leader at the marketplace, correct?
Well, it could be the leader to the downside at this point. I think this is the first week we've seen where you've had very good news. You know, you had very good news on the Russian front that the Russians were going to increase their export tax from 10 to 40%. Argentines sound like they're going to be out until at least February in terms of new export registrations. Export sales weren't that bad, and it should have said to the market, especially in thin volume, we think, you should have held that $9 support level in March, but instead you broke well below that, and you ended up being down 75 cents for the week. So technically speaking, I think that March chart looks as bad as it has in about 9 months, Dave.
So in the light of what happened in both the soybeans and in the wheat this week, I guess we have to call it a fairly good victory for the corn, don't we?
It is. It is a nice victory for the corn, and I think the one thing that was helping the corn was the continuation of the energy bill and euphoria over that, and maybe shorts covering their positions after that came past and by both the President and Congress. And I think then later on you saw with both the hogs and the poultry numbers, with a big quarterly report issued yesterday in hogs, a large, large herd out there, so I think 6% over last year at this time, and you continue to increase your egg sets and your poults that are placed as well. So you had several things in the short-term economics working, you know, in the microeconomic side working with the corn. And I think even until today, the corn was being pulled with the beans. I think the no bean dees corn ratio was improving to the bean side. So if you took out the last 15 minutes of trade today, I think you could have said for the week the beans were helping the corn as well.
As we look at the technicals on those corn charts, though, we see that when corn March, I'm looking at the March chart, you draw a line through the February and the March highs, and we see that's pretty much where it stalled out today. So now I guess the high off today, a pretty strong resistance point at this point.
It is, and you know, if you draw a swing objective or a price objective off of the October last year low to the end of November last year high, that's about 56 cents or so, around 56 to 60 cents, and you add that to your early December low that you put in here when you tested your trend line and your 10-day moving average, that comes right out about 454 to 456, and so you've met a swing objective as well. I think the neatest thing about these charts, especially in the corn still, but up until the last 15 minutes of trade, the beans as well, you had a gap from today's or from Monday's big move higher, and it gapped higher on the composite chart. That gap is now aligned with the moving average, the 10-day moving average, or within a couple cents, and it's also aligned with the uptrending support line. And so obviously every big phone call we've gotten from clients has been, when do I sell more, when do I sell more? And I think we just are going to keep it very simple and very technical, that if you close after the first of the year below those trend line, that 10-day moving average, I don't care if it's a half a penny, go ahead and start letting go of a little bit more cash. Doesn't mean we won't re-own it, because there's still some issues out there coming down the pike on the January 11th report that could, you know, turn this thing, especially with the decent correction, turn this thing back higher again. But, you know, we've said for several weeks we'd really like a correction before the end of the year to make this market feel good and feel like it could be a longer-term, you know, bullish-type market.
If I remember right, we had a correction on the corn at the end of last year, and then off of that we had a 70-cent rally.
Yeah, we really did, and a lot of that was the ethanol demand and the acreage demand, you know, to build those supplies in corn. And you could see some of that again this year because you've got that new energy bill, and you could see some of it because you do need a ton more bean acres. One contact we have in Chicago told me yesterday that one of his fund contacts was needing to say the highs in beans were in, or the beans didn't need to go any higher. We needed 10 million more bean acres planted this year before he'd be satisfied that we'd be able to return a decent carryover in the beans here in the United States. So there's some pretty big numbers being floated around about what we need for beans, and that could continue to support that back-end corn. I think, too, the biggest thing that we're watching right now continues to be that July D's bull spread in the corn. We really like that spread. We think it's good risk-reward. It's at zero right now. It's right on the verge of going inverted or at a carrying charge. With the type of corn demand we've seen both from South Korea and, you know, like this week's export sales and how fast the corn seems to be moving out of the Gulf right now and China being out of the market, we would think, like wheat and like beans, the bull spread would be working really in the favor of the person putting it on. But so far that corn bull spread hasn't turned on yet, And we really don't want to see that thing go to a carrying charge market where the D's takes over as a premium in the futures, but that could be because you're trying to buy acres and keep up with the new crop beans. But regardless, if that bull spread would come back around next week, that would be an indication that the longer-term trend in corn is still pretty healthy.
Give us the early word on what you think will happen on the January reports.
Well, I'll tell you what I think we need to have happen based upon our analysis and based upon what the Chicago people are telling us. You really need to probably be close to a 150 carryover in beans, a 1.5 billion bushel carryover in corn, and probably around a 250 carryover in wheat. The corn and bean carryover numbers are going to be real, real important. The wheat carryover number, maybe not as important. I think the winter wheat acres and the wheat stocks are going to be huge to the market. But up until today's break in the wheat and in the beans, the market was moving in a pattern. We thought that you would need to feed the bull on January 11th and confirm very, very tight historic both world and U.S. stocks to keep these kind of price levels rolling as we get ready to plant next year. I think a lot of guys are still talking about weather. That's a good thing to talk about. I think Chinese weather is extremely important right now, and some of the reason why the bean oil prices rallied so much in China over there is the lag effect of how poor their production was to meet their demand. They had good supplies, good production, but it just was poor given how strong their demand was. And a lot of traders are pretty shaken up right now ahead of the Lunar New Year coming in February and also ahead of the Olympics coming later in 08.
Are you of a mindset that bean oil will eventually take out its all-time high at 51?
It probably will, Dave. I think, you know, again, all these major moves higher and these historic price levels that you're hearing out there in the technical world, I would think that all should be predicated on a pretty decent correction to test the resolve of the long, to suck in more longs and keep your open interest real, real strong. But open interest has been back and forth, and maybe that's the holidays. We don't know yet, but we'll sure find out pretty soon next week, I think.
So pay attention to the open interest beginning next Monday.
Yeah, you know, the commitment of traders and the open interest numbers are going to be real, real important in the month of January because they're really our best indication other than floor contacts and then people up there in boots on the ground as far as what the funds are doing. But if you're going to pull a lot of stakes, if you're a fund and you're pulling a lot of stakes and the energies and metals are no longer supporting you, I mean, that was a huge thing this week. Those metals and energies markets really came roaring back. I think that helped prevent a lot more fund liquidation at the end of the year here. But if those break, then you're going to have to really watch a commitment of traders and the open interest and see if those funds do pull some stakes out. But if they don't pull that much out, that should give you an indication this is a correction that we're going to try for some of those higher highs.
Before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about the livestock and the big break we saw on lean hogs. What happened there today?
Well, I think the end result of the corn rally and the meal rally, and then you see the hog numbers that we addressed here at the beginning of the program, Dave, we never got that liquidation phase back in 2006. The Canadian hog numbers are coming down very aggressively because of our exchange rate being so good compared to theirs. You may not know, but the Canadian prices are based upon Iowa's prices, and so they are based upon the U.S. dollar. And so when the dollar breaks, not only does it shut them out of exporting, it also hurts their producers and their break-evens because they buy their feed in Canadian dollars, which are at 35, 40-year highs, sell their hogs at a historically low U.S. dollar price. Those folks are sending a lot of hogs down. But essentially all four of these things have come together and unfortunately hit at a time when demand is probably going to be struggling with the consumption going down, durable goods going down, the housing market in such a bad situation. I think it all spells that we're going to need to liquidate. The question is how much are we going to need to liquidate? And that, again, as we've always learned by making a new contract low in February hogs today, the size of liquidation is predicated upon how bad the futures price takes the market down to pressure that liquidation, and that will determine how much we liquidate. So the lower we go from here, the more we're going to liquidate. That'll cause more supplies to hit the markets, and that'll further increase the production and supplies available near term. That'll further fall upon, you know, more lower prices. So we could be in for a rough road in the hog industry here the next 3 to 6 months.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Happy holiday to you, sir.
You too, Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to WILO Urbana.